Hello, Scroobius Pitbeard. This is weird, isn't it? This is an intro and warning before the intro and warning that come before the drunk cast. These conversations, it's a three-part thing, were recorded not this past Sunday, the Sunday before. Obviously, a lot has happened in between those times. It was originally scheduled to come out last week, but I decided it felt more appropriate and more important to reissue the Killer Mike episode and the Akala episode. There was tons I could have chosen from. The Black Lives Matter episode obviously jumps out as well. But yeah, it felt more appropriate to put them out at that time and hold the drunk cast back here. But I wanted to pop up and explain the kind of timeline, because obviously, as said, a lot has happened in that period. But I really appreciated getting to do this drunk cast. I love everyone involved, and I loved that we could have a safe and open space to discuss heavy things and to talk absolute nonsense and get drunk and be silly wallies. It was the loveliest moment in these incredibly unusual and exhausting times. But yeah, just wanted to explain that. Big love to everyone who's listening and everyone out there. Figuring out how this new normal can be anything near normal, and where it can't go back to normal. Anyway, let's get on with the drunk cast. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is part two of the Isolation Drunk Cast with Jade Adams and Rich Wilson, and of course, Chris Glasson and Stu Whiffin. You're all here after the cliffhanger ending of episode one. So, I'll let you get straight into it, really. As mentioned previously, part three, which is the messiest of the parts. In fact, in part three, there's tears from both Jade and I. So that's good. That's something to look forward to. And as previously mentioned, new Pod Bible magazine out on Sunday. Is it on Sunday or Monday? It's on Monday. It comes out on Mondays. Anyway, here's part two, and part three of this will be out at midnight. And again, as previously mentioned, along with the warnings on potential drunk content, I will warn there is, you know, a varied level of sound quality, but Buddy Peace has made it sound amazing all the same. This is the third Isolation Drunk Cast of this weird year, and it's episode 328 of the Distraction Pieces podcast.
Greetings, Distraction Pieces listener. That means you. Hello, this is producer Buddy Peace. Just a little check-in ahead of the episode. Sorry to bother you, sorry to disturb, but this won't take long. Just wanted to give you sort of a quick little post-it note about the quality of the audio for this episode. In regular situations, we'd have a separate recording for each guest, but it just so turned out that we didn't have that for reasons many and various. But basically, in the end, we had a mix which the Zoom app gave us, sort of spits out at the end, of everyone together. What isn't great about that is that you can't kind of treat each voice uniquely. So you can't, you know, like if one voice is a bit brighter than the other one, then, you know, you sort of can't adjust them individually. So you might hear a little bit of disparity in the voice qualities. I did what I could. It's entirely listenable. You know, you should be able to make out all the words and everything everyone's saying. But it's not super incredible, but give it a minute or so, your ears will adjust and forgive you, and all will be well. I hope you understand why I took my PIP-approved chance to chime in at the start. I just sort of wanted to jump out of the shadows from where I do all the mixing and whatnot and just give you a little heads up on all of that. It's a total joy of a podcast. So, yeah, please enjoy, and thanks for listening to me talk about specific stuff. All right, on with the episode. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces.
I thought I'd die in the mood.
Mate, I've had a point I need to bring up at some point, and it's the least mood lightning thing ever. So go ahead, I'll bring it up later into part two. But go,
all right, go on.
You haven't even told me about this, Rich.
Well, I met him. I think his name's Martin. His name's Martin Gadd. So we used to go. We used to go to Martin Gadd.
It's pronounced glitter.
Oh no, I hate to break it to you, Pip, but Gary Glitter's, oh shit man, I'm sorry, this is, oh, it's like telling the kids that Santa doesn't exist. Gary Glitter ain't his real name, bruv. I'm really
sorry, what kind of prick would make up such a ludicrous fake name.
Done.
What about the glitters?
He spelt glitter correctly though, Pip, didn't he?
He did.
It's rhyming slang, isn't it? Yeah.
Go on, Rich.
But he's Martin Gadd. We used to go to Cyprus to do the decompression gigs. So when the troops would come back from Afghanistan, they'd go to Cyprus so that they could have a few beers and unwind before. Because what was happening, they were going straight home after being in combat, and then they were just taking it out on their families. So we all get flown out to Cyprus to entertain these people and to, you know, keep them lighten the mood a little bit. And they kept coming up to me. They go, "Do you like Gary Glitter? Do you like Gary Glitter?" I'm going, "No, of course I don't. He's a fucking paedophile." "Do you like Gary Glitter?" They kept doing it. And then this fella turned up and he went, "I'm Gary Glitter's cousin." And I looked, and he pulled his face, and I went, "You fucking are." He looks exactly like him. Yeah. But with blonde hair. He's got blonde hair. And then he showed me his ID, Martin Gadd. And I went, "Oh my fucking God." I went, so what happens? Do you see him at Christmas? He went, "Nah, not anymore." Madness, man.
I mean, was he a squaddy? Or was he like, squaddy. Sorry, we can't have Gary, but we've got his cousin. Come on, come.
You know the words.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it was a squaddy.
This is me meandering from what we were discussing. So have you guys seen The Joker?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the scene where he's...
on the stairs.
Yeah.
Rock and Roll Part 2, bitches.
Yeah,
it's a fucking banging tune.
So what did you feel about that? Talk to me. How did you feel when you watched that? What went through your head?
I saw it a couple of times. First time I saw it, I was sat there and I'm like, I was with my mate and I went, "That's fucking Gary Glitter." He went, "No, it can't be. I went, that's Gary Glitter all day long. I'm telling you. And he said it was, I can't remember, some other glam rock band. I went, no. He's going, "No, that's The Sweet or something." Yeah. And then we came out and we Googled it.
And you say, "No, I'm telling you, I know his cousin."
Yeah. I've got his laptop. But then you read into it and it said, like, Gary Glitter didn't write it. So he gets none of the royalties from it. He's nothing. Yeah. And so you kind of go, "All right, it made me feel better about the whole thing." At that time, I was like, "Ah, oh, fuck, this is such a brilliant movie."
And it works so well, doesn't it, with his breakdown. And that was always a banger. Like, don't get me wrong, I always thought that song, I loved that song. I thought it was good. But then you become, can you separate the art from the artist? Rah, rah, rah. Mm. But I ended up with that same conclusion, Rich. Like, I Googled it. He's not getting any money from it. I thought, it really worked for the scene.
Yeah, and he doesn't really sing on it. He does a bit. Now it sounds like we're all like, "Oh, well, no, it's fine, you know." We're not for one minute pushing to one side the atrocities of Gary Glitter and what he did, but you kind of go, because it's still the song still exists and people still created this song. Gary Glitter sang on it,
who worked on that. It's like a crazy thing, and you could take that into the Jackson thing. It's like, fuck, like, there's so many people who must have busted their guts on that,
mate. There's another four members of the Lost Prophets, and you think you pop.
Well, that's why they're called that now.
Oh, that was excellent, Rich.
I'll give you a clap for that.
But that's the thing, isn't it? Like, everybody else, all the guys in the rest of the band. But the thing is, if you look at it, you look at your DVD collection, and you look at all your records and your CDs, and when you trace it back, there's an atrocity connected to nearly everything. Nearly everything. And it's going to get to the point, right? If you just chuck it all away, go, "Right, I can't listen to that because that was connected to that. I can't watch that because that was connected to that." you're going to end up with a Scroobius Pip album. And even that is dubious because he knows Chris is Stew.
Trust me. Give it 10 years, Rich.
There's going to be some shit coming out.
We'll not talk about
there'll be something. There'll be what drunk cast? I never remember doing that.
Exactly. But it's I mean, it's completely true. And again, it should come down to individual comfort. Like, I don't feel comfortable listening to R. Kelly.
No.
Because of the shit that he's done. I can't enjoy that anymore. That's not me taking a moral high ground or a stance. That's me going, ugh. Nah, this feels wrong. Whereas that Gary Glitter track in The Joker with hardly any vocal from him on didn't cause a thing. You find out it's all the better that he's not earning a penny. Yeah. So it's this huge thing, iconic scene. He doesn't get fuck all out of it. It becomes all the more beautiful.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a
huge Michael Jackson fan, like huge. Yeah. I went through a period of mourning when he died and then went through another period of worse mourning when I finally admitted what it is that was constantly being told to me and haven't listened to a single song of his since and can't. Mm. And every time I hear him, I mean, it's easier when it's Jackson 5 because he's just a boy, but the stuff that he made when he was a consenting adult to the behavior that he had, it's impossible, man. I find it so hard. And it's a tragedy as well, because he did mean a lot to so many people. All of us have been inspired by him in some way, because, you know, you just saw someone who just did it. It was the first time that happened, who just like became a global phenomenon. That way I've said that about a lot of gin. But it's a real shame. I wouldn't put that Gary Glitter song in the same breath as that, but maybe someone will tell us that we're wrong. But it is a real shame when someone fucks up their... Like, it's like Louis C.K., man. I'm so sad about that. I'm so fucking sad that he did that. Like, what a like, you fucking wanker.
And he was the man.
The weird thing about that, Jade, is that... because I love that sense of humour. I mean, I can't help but be magnetised towards it. And I sometimes get annoyed at myself that I like the offensive stuff all the time and I can't have the more subtle. And I actually been getting more into that recently. When you play someone like CK or Jez or Nick for the first time to people, you've got to get the right joke for them to start to get on board to realise that, you know, they're all in on it. Yeah. And then sort of like that happens and you're like, oh.
But what happens now is I've watched a bit of CK since.
Yeah.
And you go, fuck, he mentions dicks a lot. He mentions masturbation a lot. Right. Like, it's every other joke. And you're like, fuck, I didn't even think about that.
It was one of the things that my brother talked about as soon as it all came out. He kind of argued, he's like, that was always the joke he was making. Like he was always painting himself to be the person that he's now been revealed to be.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's not defending it in any way. But it's like, this is what he was always saying. Here's, I'm this creepy scumbag.
Yeah.
And then it comes out, he's a creepy scumbag. And we all go, oh, that's disgusting.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is disgusting. It's interesting though as well, because again, it's not
we didn't do that. Just love someone who was good at comedy. Like, it's not our fault like, he wrote one of the most perfect sitcoms I've ever fucking seen in my life. Yeah. Like, yeah, Louis was incredible.
Yeah, yeah.
And he immediately fucked it straight away. And it's not my fault for liking him because he's great, but he fucked it. And he has. And the worst bit about it is there's been, not that we'd accept it at all, because now it's done. You have to have a zero tolerance policy with the sort of shit that he was doing. But like, he hasn't even shown any remorse.
No.
And I hope happens to him is he's got two young girls, and I hope when they're like, they get clever and older and they're like 30 and they turn around to their father and they fucking tell him, because it's going to be the only women he listens to, and it'll be a real shame for him that he couldn't let go of his ego until then.
It goes back to that, like Cummings as well. Cummings didn't even apologise. If he'd have just gone, do you know what, I was caught up in it,
I panicked,
I didn't even know what I was doing, I didn't think straight. And I went, right, my family there, I'm going to go to my family. Yeah, you're right, I fucked it. But
Rich,
he wasn't
that's
even
my
sorry.
My biggest issue with politicians, and I've always had this within corporations, is the inability to just go, it's not backtracking, it's to just go, all right,
I'm a human being.
Wrong thing there, I panicked. And It's not right.
You know what? I've had an annoying counter to that. When I was in management at HMV, I had this security guard, and he would fuck up or just do things he shouldn't be doing constantly. No, he'll wear the wrong stuff, and he'll always come in, and I'd get him in for discipline, and he'd always come in and go, "Pip, put my hands up to it. I fucked up."
Yeah.
And it's like the first couple of times you're like, "Good, he's admitting it." It's like that's not a get out of jail free card. You can't just come every time and go. And that because up until then, I was exactly the same. I was like, just people admit it. And then it's like, you can't use that as your tool. It was
no, that's a competence issue in work when that happens. It's like the same thing is like always bringing in your personal shit into the office. It's like everyone's, you know, you want to have empathy for people and going through shit. But if for the whole 10 years they're at the office, they're constantly throwing the next thing about why they weren't in that day. It's kind of like, I mean, I don't want to be a cunt here, but like I'm paying you full pay, and I'm trying to run an organisation, and I can't keep. So there are lines, and that's the same thing, Pip. You can't always keep going. Sorry, did it again. Yeah, it's like John Jones in the mixed martial arts world. Anytime anyone fucks up, you can go, "You've had a nightmare there, man. But have you learned?"
On me and Dan Lissac in the early days when things started to take off and it got quite fractious. We clashed a lot, and he speaks now how he was a tough person to work with at certain points. And there was a point where he would be late for everything every time, and it got to a point where I said, "I'm not willing to hear the reason anymore."
Yeah.
Yeah,
and it was harder for him because he just had to be late. And it's just, no, you're just late. I don't want to know the ins and outs.
I just
know that you're an hour late and that's it. And it was it kind of worked because it kind of was like, right, if you can't excuse it or justify it, it gets to a point where you just stop being late.
I bet he was only half hour late and you was 100% a half hour early.
Yeah, that
100%.
That never helped. Like, we genuinely discussed that. I was like, I know that it's feeling worse for me because I'm early for everything. So you being 20 minutes late, I'm like, I've been sitting there for 40 minutes going, fucking hell. But yeah, it is. I admitted my own faults there, Stu, and I put my hands up and said, look.
Jay, being early for something. Jade. Do you do that with your partner all the time? Look, I'm sorry. I'm early again. I'm sorry.
Give me 20 minutes. Make Give me 20 mistake. Minutes. Give me 20 minutes and I'll rectify the situation. I can't do it straight away. I'm not a superhero.
look, fair play. No excuses. It's my fault.
I put my hands up. I'm really sorry.
I started half hour ago.
I was going to say, I should have waited for you to get here.
Well, Jade's terrible at fucking timekeeping, eh, Jade?
I am very good and very generous in so many other fields. Like, I have things that other people can't do in other fields, and I do it for other people. So I make up for my timekeeping.
You admitted it the other day. You said, because if you're with someone, you can't tell them that you've got to go somewhere else.
I find it really hard, which is going to sound like it's not me, but I'm able to tell people that I don't have an emotional relationship with, that I don't like their behavior. Easy. But anyone I have an emotional relationship with, I find it absolutely difficult as fuck to tell them, except for Rich, tell them this thing here, I got to do something else. Sorry. I find it really hard to make people unhappy like that. Rich is easy.
Stu and Chris will confirm it's my superpower. I'm the master of, I need to leave now.
All of a sudden, it's like this smoke. Boff.
It is.
Often, it's gone.
I'm really like, Pip, man, it's 5 to 12. It's New Year's Eve, brother. Gotta go, mate. Gotta go.
Yeah, often with no explanation. The last time all of us were together was in a pub for Stu's birthday, and we all got up to move on to another pub, and I was like, I've got to make a move, guys. And it was seemingly out of nowhere, but I decided, no, I'm done with this.
What must cut worse, though, mate, is no one argues with you.
No, I love it.
No one has ever said to you, ever, I'll stay, but I'll wait. Oh, you've got to stay.
Chris, you know for a fact that makes it all the more pleasing for me. You know a clean getaway is fucking heaven for me. Because I'm a big believer in it. I argue this all the time, is... We all have delude or warp perceptions of how essential we are to a gathering. Like, if you're all going down the pub and I'm not in the mood for one reason or another, I can just not go.
Yeah.
And everyone isn't going to be sitting there going, I wish Pip was here. But there's so many people who commit to social events that they don't want to do or aren't mentally up to at the time or too knackered, but they go, I can't not go. And it's like, well, no, you can. No one's going to give a shit. That's my outlook on me.
No, I completely agree, mate. And there's nothing more liberating than that. When you...
don't agree so quickly on no one giving a shit about me.
And also...
You're still here, Pip.
Can I just clarify that the rest of you did want to be at my birthday?
Love you.
There was drinks and snacks there. And stuff.
Drinks and snacks.
I'm very good. I do an Irish goodbye all the time. I'm not the type of person that I just...
What's an Irish goodbye?
Is it an Irish goodbye? Is just leave.
Yes, ghosting.
I used to love doing that, yeah.
Mm. I'm off.
I just go out like Kaiser Soze, fucking gone, mate.
I was like, I just think we don't need all them polite things we do where we say we're going to meet up and we don't. We can just make that happen if we enjoyed the interaction we just had.
Yeah, your actions. Like, yeah.
I've been who I have. You've been who you have. Off I fucking go.
You sound like two Ronnies.
And the thing is, Jade, no one gives a fuck because like it's not.
Well, that's not actually.
People don't. Hold on. It's not.
We are still talking about my birthday party, right? I mean, fucking hell!
It's not that people don't care about each other. It's that, like, I think what you're saying, Pip, is that, like, it's not that big a deal. It feels like
it's okay
to you at the time. And when I realised that, it felt liberating to be like, I'm out of here. Or sometimes it'll get to the day, and I'll just say, I'm not up to it.
I don't
fancy this. And it's so easy because if me and you say that to each other, Pip, it's like, there's no second thought about that. It's just, are we going to hang out? I don't fancy it right now. Like,
again,
who cares? No one thinks about it.
I joked about it being my superpower, Jade, but genuinely, Chris will know there's been times he said, oh, there's this film on, fancy going to see it? And I'll say, no, I'm going on my own. And literally, because I know that he's going to want to go in the evening and there'll be crowds there, and I'm not a fan of big crowds in the cinema, and there's numerous different things, but because we know that, I'm like, no, I'm going to go at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, and I'd rather do that than wait until the evening and go with my mates. And we're perfectly comfortable. It is genuinely my superpower in being open and honest about that.
Yeah, I have eaten in so many Michelin restaurants on my own since I got bougie. Yeah. I want to eat Michelin food, and people that I hang out with can't afford it. And I want to, it's something that I really like doing. So I've got to be confident with doing it on my own.
I love it.
And I actually kind of sometimes don't want certain people there because they've got an annoying dietary requirements that normally I can tolerate. But when you're in that situation, you can't have vegetarian because they cook everything in pig. Yes, mate. That's... I went to Japan with my best mate and she couldn't eat anything because they cook everything in pork. Yes, it's my absolute dream.
I love it.
Liberating. Well, it's such a nice feeling that. And other than the cinema, first time I went to the cinema on my own, I remember that. And even like, I mean, I'm not quite that bougie, but I remember my first trip when I had to confess I had a problem with Nando's. And the first time I went to Nando's on my own, I felt slightly weird. And then I realised, I love it. I don't care. I've got no issue with just letting everyone know I'm going on my own. And
I felt actually, I went to see Deadpool 2 with a mate of ours. I love her dearly, but I was so excited to see it. I was like, this is an event. Yeah. So I got hot dog and I got nachos and I got the popcorn and she didn't have anything. And and so I'm sat there like this fucking pig. I'm just shoving hot dogs in my mouth. I've got mustard and ketchup all down my front. I was covered in popcorn and all that. And she just sat there watching, it's good, isn't it? And I'm like, yeah. It was horrible. From that moment, I was like, I'm going on my own next time.
With me. I'm a great cinema guest.
Anyway, I'm going to go on my own. Because
I could come in there and hit you. I won't.
Because Jake's like, who's that fella? I'm like, what do you mean, who's that fella?
Or what?
Watching the same film. You've been watching the same film.
I used to be texting people and then leaning over. I remember, what was the film? Sunshine, Danny Boyle. And my mate would be texting his girlfriend. And then And it'd be grating on me. And this was before big phones. Like, this was like a tiny phone, so the brightness wasn't too bad. And then he'd lean over and go, "You following this?" And I'd be like, "Yes, Ben, I'm watching the movie." And he'd be like, "I was like, you?" And he'd be like, yeah. And then like a couple of minutes later, he'd be like, "Who's that?" And I'd be like, "That's the bad guy, for fuck's sake. Like, what have you been doing?"
Or what's been happening now is there'd be a problematic bit. And then Jade would lean over and just go, "Well, I'm not happy about that." Can we wait till after?
What he's talking about is when I fucking sit and watch a movie and every single female character in it is something that someone fucks or someone who doesn't have an opinion on something. Yeah. I'm fucking sick and tired of it.
Yeah, but you can do that later.
No,
don't do it now. I'm on your side.
All of the movies that I've always loved, they all have great female leads in it. Like Forrest Gump has a great female lead, has loads of great female leads in it.
What are you talking about? She fucking walked all over him.
No, but Sally Field.
She kept fucking coming back and she fucked off and she came back.
She was complicated.
And
then at the end of the day, yeah, but that's about Forrest. She was complicated.
No. She was being a typical bird and she fucked off. I am joking.
I'll tell you why she was amazing, because she had AIDS. And still they had sex, and she never gave him AIDS. That's incredible. Like, well, if you watch the movie, it's very left that... I think they have kids.
Because she had the baby first, and then she got AIDS.
Well, I'll give you a little bit of schooling on how you catch AIDS, if you like.
Go on. Let me get my pen and pad, Jade.
You have to listen to my podcast, Insane in the Membrane, with John Sizzle. He explained exactly how he became HIV positive.
It's not as easy as the media likes to scare us into, but it is still a problem. But like, it's not like as simple as like you can, like, you know, that's such a 90s way of going. That guy licked me. What if he's got it? It's not like that.
It would be a problem for Chris because of all the willy problems he's had in the last few years. So he has a lot of open wounds.
During very, very, very hard rubbing intercourse. With no lubrication.
Oh, my God. Open wounds. Open wounds are not words, but you should connect. You shouldn't start the sentence with "is willy" and then "open wounds." That's horrendous.
Trust me, the words that he uses to describe his cock, I've only ever heard in a Quick Fit garage. And you just think... Nobody should describe their penis as part worn. It's like...
Retread.
What about vaginas, guys? What about them, eh?
What about them?
Bannies!
Lovely vaginas. Lovely vaginas.
Well, now we've brought the mood up, I'm going to bring my mood killer.
Do we have to? Because I was going to talk about something nice.
And I was going to ask Jade something about fannies.
Go on.
Go on, Stu.
Jade, so in the bedroom, and I know that I've also got your partner here on this podcast as well.
I'm in the bedroom.
I love that wallpaper.
In the throes of passion, should you want to describe the lady garden, what word works? Because for me...
It feels like it's going to be multiple choice.
Right. Okay.
Keep going, Quizmaster. In the throes of passion, what word is appropriate?
I want that. Who wants to be a millionaire?
Friend. Chris, what word? Rat. Wrong. Absolutely wrong.
Because I think if you use
50-50.
The pussy word, it sounds porno and American.
No, it doesn't. I think pussy's great.
Yeah, I like pussy.
Yeah.
What about lady place?
No, fuck. Well, let me finger your lady place. Nah.
I mean,
you're great. Pussy's like, you've got a... Yes, you think of it as porn because of the porn that's available to straight men. But when you are a female, there's a different type of porn, and pussy can be used in a really sort of positive way. And also, it's the least like badge or twat or, you know, like minge, or it's pussy's wicked, like a pussycat.
Yeah,
well,
I don't know when it's a broken name.
Sorry, Chris. as Jade was saying that, you was literally had your eyes up, half closed in concentration, nodding like, yeah, absolutely. You'd a moment before that gone, rat.
Yeah, but that's just because I know it's that silly word that we find hysterical. But in terms of what I find like a nice word for it, I think pussy.
I don't know when it comes up in the. I don't know when it comes up in the when you're in the throes of passion, why you're asking about it. Why are you? Can I have a look at it?
I'm not saying like. Oh, by the way. What are we calling this?
Can we just stop a minute? What?
If I may interject.
What are we doing?
Am I in your pussy? Or?
I just want to clarify.
I don't want any problems.
Like you're writing an email. Dear Jade Adams.
Oh, God, you sound like my father.
I don't know when it comes up when you go.
Depends what the thing is.
Do you mind if I have a go on that?
Most of you lot are a fucking talker. You love a little fucking. You love a bit of story time.
Fucking. Oh,
hello.
Nothing better than a story.
Nothing better than a story. It's not just Rich. Every guy I've ever fucked wants to fucking tell
it. All right, mate.
Have a fucking story, Jack and Nori.
I thought you were a virgin before I met you.
Us girls love it all like sort of passionate and lots of breath and all of that. You lot want a fucking soliloquy.
Mate, I've got a stutter. I can't last through a story.
My erection's gone, Pip. We have to start again.
You're not talking now, are you? We have to do it for you. I say a lot of women that are listening to this will agree with me that we are more, it's more than several occasions in our dating history have had to talk sexually and like you have to, you know, and it's fun.
But every time we go to Bristol, we drive around, you give me a guided tour where everywhere you got fingered.
Yeah, but I ain't got your cock in my hand whilst I'm doing that.
That's a good point, well put, actually. Yeah, I'll stand down.
I think for my female partners, I think talking, because I think men are a bit simpler. I think we can all agree on that, especially sexually. I don't think it's as...
I would totally disagree.
Do you reckon?
We're all very different from each other. Yeah. It's really? You are and I can say this safely as a woman who has had a lot of sex with a lot of different sexual partners.
All right, mate. Right, sex guys.
Not tons, but enough to get a mean average.
Mean average.
That's the title of the book.
That's the title of your sex tape.
The mean average.
Not a lot of chubby women talking openly about their sex lives. I'm fucking breaking boundaries here, guys.
Chew that, bro.
Right, so you think, because I've often said that, like being with a new female partner, it's like a new map in terms of what sexually works.
You're all different as well, just like
wow,
us.
Wow, wow.
I completely agree. I always used to get annoyed. Like, again, when I worked in HMV, this sounds like such a we were crazy, but there'd be some wild nights out, and after it, you never worked there, mate.
You used to go for a rumble with Tower Records.
No, but there'd be on nights up the brush or whatever, certain people would pair up, blah blah blah, and it used to annoy me that there would be your typical kind of like office style lads all talking about what they did, and Chris will confirm it. I've never been one for that. There's times. He's told me stuff he's been up to, and I've shown so little interest. It's verging on offensive. But again,
you've not said anything. But your
actions. I just sit there and go, "All right, yep, okie doke." And I get it. It's exciting sometimes to tell this. But the thing that would get me would there'd be someone in, and they'd be telling the story and saying how shit this girl was in bed and how it was rubbish. And the thing that would always annoy me is what Chris touched upon there is. There's two people in there. Yeah. So what you're saying is that you were shit in bed last night. Because it's not, as Jade said, every male and every female has different complication levels. I know I've had periods where I've slept with a few girls and I'm thinking I'm an absolute stud. And then I sleep with a girl and it's a fucking...
Yeah.
We can't click at all.
Yeah.
And I feel like a useless, nervous teenager again. Because I'm like, oh shit, I thought I was good in bed. Turns out I'm awful. But it's because people are different. And yeah. It used to always annoy me that men in particular would have that, oh, she's a shit shag. It's like, You're slagging yourself off. Yourself off, definitely. You didn't know how to please her and make her a good shag, or make the pair of you a good shag.
Sex is all about communication, and that a good sex is, that's exactly.
I mean, you've already told us that with your stories with Rich.
I think Jake, that was what I was going to come to. Is forgive the pun. Is that like I found that talk conversation and talking to girls is in sex, not going, oh, do you like that? Then do ya? But actually, like saying things that turn a girl on is it contributes to so much of what you're doing physically.
There's been a few times I've said a few stories, Jake. I seem to remember it was a dark and stormy night. The clouds
a long time ago in the galaxy. Well,
in Rome.
You see,
Chris, I wasn't criticizing you.
You went to Star Wars, I went to Count Dracula for some reason. Blood.
I wasn't criticizing it. I was just merely pointing out that it happens a lot. But, like, you know, when you're in Rome, guys, you just fucking get out of the stories, don't you?
Have a fucking chinwag, mate.
But, there's also, I'll tell you something, I think this is a real tip. Have you guys seen Normal People?
Yeah, so that's what I watched before Pip started taking it my way. That's what I wanted to talk about, Jade. Have you watched it? I'm guessing you have.
I've watched a chunk of it, Jade.
Oh.
Yeah.
So good.
It is, if any man wants to know how we want to have sex, watch Normal People.
I was blown away by it, Jade. I can't believe how good a performance Rich, your Irish between those two people.
Got gold chain on, babes.
I'll have a few more of these and I'll let you know.
Oh, it's so good. I was bawling my eyes out. And during isolation, we've talked about on previous Drunkcasts what we've been up to, but me and Molly have been watching more movies that sometimes we were on our list that we haven't bothered. And I've been in tears about 5-6 times now with films and with TV shows, and there's so many Normal People. I was just like, I've not finished crying about that. Like I've got I had a bit of a weep at the end, and it was like, there's so much in that. I've not quite finished with it. And I'm not saying for anyone who hasn't watched it yet, if it's happy or sad, I think it's beyond genius. And
it's beautiful, how nuanced
that performance is between both of them is incredible.
It's beautiful, and I don't think it's a negative thing, or I don't think it's sad or anything. I think it's a snapshot of these two falling in love with each other, and the passion they have between us, and the confidence that the two of them have in that passion as well, which is the thing that I think it speaks to so many people, because all of it, that's the thing. It's like the where we get back to when we were talking about what shit sex is. Shit sex is two people not being able to communicate. Yeah. These two are Normal People. That's all they fucking do, baby. Yeah, it's so hot.
It is. And it's again, really like, hot. It's fucking hot.
Jade talked about how it's important that people are comfortable talking about sex, particularly women, and there shouldn't be any shame in... I know we joked about it because Rich...
There shouldn't
be any shame.
Scroob, it ain't about... We talk about sex all the time. It's about you fucking lot.
But that's what I mean. Both genders talking about it equally. And there shouldn't be any shame in a woman or a man who's had a lot of sex and all these things. But equally, there shouldn't be any shame in people not being able... Certain people not being able to communicate sexually. Like I've had that before and I've not felt, oh, that was a failure or I should be ashamed. Like, oh, we didn't click. We didn't have the right language and I couldn't read what she wanted. She couldn't read what I wanted, or so on and so forth. And that's okay as well. But it's understanding that these things are there, and there's two people in the
that's conversation. That's terrifying when you.
It's different in a relationship, obviously. In a relationship, you need to find that.
Yeah,
that's,
of course.
That's important. But if it's a more casual situation, it's kind of like, well, there you go. It is what it is.
I think that's terrifying when you're young as well. All these things, sex as a whole thing, is absolutely terrifying. I can only speak from my perspective, but like, I was so worried about the size of my dick and stuff like that growing up, and I ended up having torsion. So as I was going through puberty, I had to get rushed to hospital and had to get my nuts out for about 4 or 5 student doctors all prodding my testicles, which was an absolute nightmare. So I probably got over it quicker than others. And then I speak to my girl mates and they're like, can you imagine what it's like to... Like how, you know, the sort of like the pressures and fears we're under for all that. It's a nightmare. And then add the physicality for both sexes onto what you're saying there, the communication. It can go wrong or it might not work out. And I think as you get older, if you're lucky, sometimes you can sort of like grow past that, grow acceptance and understanding of it didn't work out that time. And, you know, and not have the shame of you know. No, like if you're being a complete ignoramus and treating the other partner like shit, now they're shit in bed. That's a whole different sort of kettle of fish. But understanding, okay, that might have not worked out that time, and not have to beat yourself up over it is quite important, I think.
Yeah, again, it's interesting. The developing the comfort to have those discussions, to have to express your fears, your uncertainties. I always remember years back, a gay mate of mine was asking a lot if I would be up for having some gay fun with him. And because he knew an ex of mine and he'd heard good reviews. And again, number one, that's what I was going to say. Number one, I said to him, number one is very much, it might read like a 5-star review, but it's a 3 or 4 at best.
Go on, Trustpilot.
Yeah, exactly. Ask around, ask a wider pool. But I kind of said to him as well, I was like, number one, I'm, as far as I've noticed or felt in my life, I'm heterosexual. I've never had that attraction. But number two, it was exactly thinking of that a communication thing. I was like, I wouldn't know where to start, mate. Literally, I can't even imagine. I wouldn't know the beginning. I'd like, I'm not ready to go back to being an absolute novice at something that's so crushing to your soul and emotion. So
even if
the urges were there, I'd probably be like, no, I feel at least I'm comfortable at my level now in heterosexual.
I would give a terrible blowjob. Yeah. I've never done it before. It's like driving a car. If you haven't done it before, you're gonna crash it into the bushes, isn't you?
Mate, I gag cleaning my teeth.
I do. Genuinely.
So many of my girlfriends have been like, "What's that?" And I'm like, "I'm gagging." They're like, "You would be crap at getting in."
That's what Jade says. She hears me in the bathroom. She goes, "You'd be shit at gay." And I'm like,
it's utter bullshit when you're expected to try and get that thing as far down your throat as you can.
Fucking right. Call it the thing.
And you can't even brush the same teeth.
So we've decided for female on pussy and for male that thing, right? I'm glad we've cleared up.
It's done.
I'm glad we've cleared up the bedroom.
We didn't nail racism, but we've cleared that up, I think.
Big hard dick, wet pussy. There you go.
And that thing, if we're referencing it historically. Yeah. In the moment. Yeah.
I'm not cleaning my mouth with that thing.
Oh, that's incredible.
So I don't know who to move on to. I was going to ask Chris about. I'm going to get my downer moment out of the way.
Okay, go on.
Oh, was that not it?
No. It's because there's a story in it that I want Jade to hear because I think she'll like it. But I had a death in the family this week, and it's really sad because we can't go to the funeral because of the restrictions. It was Martin Lynn, who's in Scotland, and the restrictions are stricter in Scotland at the moment. So,
sorry, man.
It's fine. It is what it is. There's a lot of bad shit going on. It's more heartbreaking for my mum because she was like, it's actually my mum's cousin, but we're all very close, so she's an aunt or whatever. And it's heartbreaking for my mum to not be able to go up because she has been her supporter for so many years, and Lynn would come and stay here. But the reason it came to mind is I think Jade would have loved my Aunt Lynn. I think I might have mentioned her when we did the podcast, actually, but she's a real Scottish woman. A great example of her is she's lived in Edinburgh her whole life. And when I did my Fringe show in 2012, it was the first Fringe show she's ever been to. Because she's had no interest in that aunt's arty poncy nonsense that literally to live somewhere where there's all this on constantly. But the story that I've always loved is, and this is going to make my family sound so ridiculously Essex, but after my parents had split up, my dad got with my mum's best mate, which again, this is all very Jeremy Kyle. It's not. It was years later. It was all friendly and it was all fine. But the Christmas after, my dad had got with Jackie, who again is a wonderful woman. There's no weirdness there. My mum was fine with it. We're all understanding. But Lynn was down from Scotland for Christmas. And my dad, you know, he wants to to pop round and see his sons on Christmas Day because we live with my mum. And he brings Jackie, and Lynn's head just spun round like the angriest, like, Rottweiler you've ever seen. And through gritted teeth, she was like, "Hello, Jackie." Like, oh, you're having a good Christmas. And we literally ended up having to take her in the kitchen and lock her in the kitchen because she was saying, I'm going to headbutt her. She's coming to your house on Christmas Day where you're doing Christmas dinner. And it was just such a beautiful and positive memory that we literally had to lock her in the kitchen because she was going to headbutt. In defense of my mum, who was fine with it and was like, "Hello, Jackie, how are you? This is lovely. Oh, I've got you a little present." But Lynn was like having absolutely none of it.
Can't.
But it was just a proper, a beautiful moment of her loyalty to my to my mum. So yeah,
you were
very nice.
You frozen, yeah.
But yeah, sorry, Pip, about that, man. That's
all good.
News.
Again,
Rich is just to let you know, Rich is frozen. I don't know if you can see that.
He's frozen with a smile on his face, though.
He's just come in to me, so he's just going to sign back on. Rich, turn it off and on again.
Back out. Yeah, exactly. The classic. But again, it's
the best version of Rich, though, isn't it? That's the best version there. Look at
his smiling, little face.
He's beaming, he's a happy boy. But yeah,
that looks like on the back of a, what's it called? Funeral service. What? Obituary.
He was a happy guy.
Everyone's
had a heart attack while listening to Pip talk about
a death in the family during a pandemic.
Oh, brilliant.
I love it. But
she sounds like an absolute legend, mate.
Yeah,
she's a proper good one. But again, it's an illustration of the different things that people are having to face in this fucking weird time, because how mad is that you can't go to a funeral of someone? And
well, I don't know,
it's a really odd scenario.
It wouldn't stop some people if you look at bloody Southend Seafront or fucking I was so upset by that. Like, I saw those pictures of Southend Seafront, and you know what, I couldn't help but I started slagging off, you know, where I come from, and be like, "Oh, fucking trust us to be like being on the front page and doing these sort of things." And then, you know what? Then I drove back into London after a big family barbecue that I'd arranged. I drove back into London and drove through Greenwich, and it was fucking rammed. And I was like, "Has everyone gone mad or something?"
Oh, that's one of the things I was going to ask Jade and Rich if he ever unfreezes. But
baby, you're all right. He'd be there in a minute.
But you're overlooking it all, Jade. How's that been? Because you can kind of look out your window and see if people are misbehaving or acting inappropriately, or if it's kind of a bit of exaggeration and catching the right angles and stuff.
I don't think I ever want to blame people when they're reacting to something, because this has been hard for so many people. Mm-hmm. What I do want to say is that this isn't the fault of these people. This is the fault of the uncertainty of our government during all of this. Like, there's been so many vague things that they've told us to do, that this is the reaction to it. But the day we had a stringent rule from Boris, we all sat there, we listened, and we didn't criticise. But we haven't had that since, and it's all been a bit vague. And my theory for the reason why, for the vagueness now, is number one, there are a bunch of ball bags and they all shouldn't be in these jobs. But number two, I think because we don't know what the reaction is going to be like this, I think they're probably guinea pigging the entire situation to see what will happen. Like, what happens if people get a little bit lapsed? Because what they'll do, if they notice a huge spike, they'll do the same thing and they'll put us all away. But if they keep doing that thing, then that will have no gravitas. So if, you know, we have Boris on the screen when we want to, we had him, we shortened the peak or whatever it was called, whatever that thing, we lessened that. Then they're trying to reintegrate everyone together by being vague, letting people make their own choices and their own decisions about stuff. And people are, and I've been in London Fields Park and people were social distancing. Yes, there was a massive group of people that weren't, but most of the people in the park were all 6 feet away from each other. And people are doing it. Some fucking idiots aren't. Southend, obviously. But if you probably go to the beach, there'll be loads of people social distancing. They'll be 6 feet apart from each other. But on those angles that they take photographs in, it doesn't look like that. But it's not the fault of the people doing it. It's the fault of the government. But also the government at the same time are don't know what the fuck they're doing.
Again, that's perfectly kind of articulated, because it goes back comparable to the riots. If you're angry at people burning down cities, be angry at a policeman who killed a black person. If you're angry at people on the beach, be angry at a government who haven't given clear instructions. So people do think, oh, we can go and meet up and we can meet six people.
I think
it's murkier than that. We've had a cat invasion. I think it's murky. I think, like, because I do believe that. But I do think there's individual agency, but also what does the government expect when they do give vague things?
The government and the media. Because again, every time there's about to be an announcement, there's 10 articles about what the announcement is probably going to be. And then that makes everyone... And they did it at the bank holiday weekend before. There's going to be an announcement on Monday, and all the papers write, it's going to be that we're allowed to do this, we're allowed to do that. And then people start going, well, if we're going to be allowed to do that, they start acting as if it's all okay. And you do get all the people saying it's a myth, it's exaggerated. It's the never-ending waterfall of information again. Mm. All these different people saying what's true and what's not.
No one knows what's true, not even the scientists or anyone. They're trying to work it out. But the problem is with diseases like this or viruses like this, it's a virus, isn't it? Viruses like this, is we have to wait to see. We have to wait to see how we handle it, because we don't know how it's going to behave, what it's going to do. They're reticent to tell us information about it. So it's left for us to sort of hypothesize with each other. There's some idea that people that smoke cigarettes don't develop the cough. We noticed it in our household. We all got COVID.
And you all got it, didn't
we? We all got it. And Paul and I didn't develop the cough, but Rich did. And Paul and I are the smokers. So there's little bits and pieces like that. But the thing is that if Boris went back onto our screens and told us all, you can't go out
again,
we'll listen to it. But then, but they need to relax it a little bit to see what's going to happen, because they don't fucking know. Mm. You can't predict this shit. Mm. And the economy, like, people have to fucking work. People the world has to keep turning. So I don't think there's any right answer to any of this.
Jade? I really like that. You see, for me, it's when it comes back to when we start taking sides. It's like, can any of us really, with any of these things, know? Like, and so let's stop hitting each other around the head with, if you think you're right about it. I remember watching a debate with Stephen Fry, and out of this whole board of people, he was the one who said, look, you know, the most dangerous thing you can be in these times is sure of your own opinion. Sure of yourself.
Leave a bit of room for doubt, always. There needs to, in anyone's thoughts and feelings about anything, your tribe that you're next to, the people you see either side, leave a little space in your mind for doubt, because there is a chance that you could be wrong, and it's okay to be wrong. Just move away quickly.
Exactly that.
You see, the problem I'm having now is any time Rich doesn't move for more than a second, I think he's frozen again. So every time he's paying deep and concentrated attention to what Jade's saying and what Chris is saying, I'm thinking, has he gone? No. He nodded.
Because normally you know when it's frozen, because it always gets you in a really shit position.
Like, mate, yours froze beautifully. You had smile on your face.
We found
your obituary photo. That's what we found.
Because when you froze up, Pip was like that. And it was like, and that normally is that. And then, like, what makes me laugh is the way that we're all having to end these Zoom meetings now. You kind of go, oh, yeah, it's been really cool to see you. Really cool. Nice one. You take care. See
there's
you
someone
later.
Going.
And then it's like, how'd you get out of this then?
And that's my favourite thing of every. And everyone can go and enjoy this now, but every time Stu does a video on the Hardcore List in Instagram, if it's a live one or whatever, they all start with him looking a little bit cross-eyed as he's trying to start it. And then they all end with him doing exactly the same, just getting really close, looking confused.
Oh, yeah.
His swim's frozen now.
Hello. Yeah.
Here he is.
Yeah. Oh, here he is.
Chris, we should talk about the rescheduling of this, because we had to reschedule because you couldn't move. How was that? What went on?
Basically, I don't know how far you want to go back like Chunk did in the Goonies, but basically, I have had a history of back issues. Not the worst, certainly not, and I'm very grateful that I haven't had to have surgery, but I've had back issues like since about 16 and doing something incredibly embarrassing on Palmer's College sports field. But every few years now, it goes into spasm, and mine went into spasm Thursday morning, and I was fucked. I woke up at like 8 o'clock. I had to do some work at 10 to 9. My back spasmed, and I was.
Did you feel
just
like cramp? Is it like cramp sort of thing?
Mate, yeah. I really wish intense. It was.
I have it in my knee. I have the same thing, and it renders me useless for a couple of days.
And then
you know that you're. Oh shit! What's that?
What's that then?
That music.
Oh, this is suspense.
What the fuck's like going on?
Is it music?
I don't know.
Sounds like you're playing Street Fighter.
Fuck. There you are, I'm back. Sorry.
You're back. So, so your knee's gone, and then you know you're going to be out for a few days, Jade, basically.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I laugh at it, even when it's really painful. Like, I remember walking, I woke my girlfriend up because it happened, and I knew it was painful, but it wasn't too bad. And then I was like, I've got to move. And I stood up and I just yelled out and woke her up. And then I walked back.
That must have been terrifying.
I walked back into the bedroom and I was laughing, but I couldn't. I was like a penguin. And that was it. And so that was why I couldn't do it on Friday, guys. I was absolutely man down.
How was that though? Again, like we've talked about people taking their own choices and being responsible in this situation. Normally you'd probably go and see a physio, but what counts as an emergency and what counts as essential? So what was your kind of your thought pattern and all that?
The funny thing is, I kind of, when it spasmed, I knew I had one coming, really. I know it sounds silly, but since I know what happens with my, I've got a disc in the middle of my spine. I've had lower back problems, but this is in the middle. Self-inflicted, snowboarding, being a rad dude. I'll tell you all about that another day. And every few years I need this disc massaged a little bit so it forms straight. And I know it's been rubbing on my rib cage for since isolation, and it's uncomfortable, but then you forget about it. But I haven't really been able to get it sorted as quick as possible. So when it went into spasm, I was kind of like, you know, I know what I've got to do here is not drink and get fucked up with you guys until I can sit up. So I remember I think I told you, Pip, that I still had to do some work. I had to speak to some solicitors, but I bet they didn't know. I was lying on my bedroom floor, covered in a duvet, just in my pants, holding three solicitors. And I just thought, this is quite comical.
You see, when he told me, though, I imagined it was a Zoom call and he's done like a background on his floor of like a window and some books on the wall.
Perfect.
Just here I am at my desk.
Lying down on his library rug.
That's what I'm doing now.
He's got a poster up in the background. Yeah, exactly.
Do you get dressed? Do you, when you're doing these things or when you're doing, you have to talk to someone? I know the other day I had a shower because I've still been getting showered and deodorant and all that shit, but I always get dressed and ready for the thing because I know other people have done it in their pyjamas, and I just cannot.
Yeah.
I cannot do it because I'm not in the right mindset then to have a chat.
Stu, you do, don't you? You like to get like all done up and ready for the day, don't you?
I'll get up and have a shower in the morning. Yeah. But
this is one of the first Zoom calls I've had with Stu where he's not laying down. He's normally got his little laying down spot on his sofa that he loves for his Zoom calls.
But interestingly, Chris and I have done a hardcore listening with a guy called Sam from the Tudor Chat podcast. And he said something that I thought was really sweet. And this was probably about sort of 3 or 4 weeks ago. And he was like, oh, man, he said he's so nice. I've been really looking forward to just chatting to some other people. I got like
really hyped about it this morning, then got out of the shower and put some aftershave on.
That's what I've been doing.
That's really cold. Just put some aftershave on to do a podcast.
Yeah. I do that. And it's when I've been recording mine, I get dressed for it. I do my hair. They can't even see me. It's not even video. I put aftershave on because, like you say, psychologically now I'm in a position. Yeah, exactly. But it's, because I've done it before and I haven't been able to think straight because I've just been doing it. I've been sat in my underwear and you don't normally talk to people like that. Or people say, like, if you're doing voiceovers and you have, like, sometimes you have to smile when you're doing it because it changes. Yeah, people can tell that you're smiling when you're talking. And it's there's all these things. And I think, it's really easy in this situation to let yourself fall into these traps of becoming a bit more slovenly and a bit of a slob and I don't think that's not good for your mental health. Like they say, like part of dealing with depression, like you get up and you make your bed and make shit like bed. That. And it just, get up in the morning, have a shower, clean your teeth. Have a breakfast, do your bits, have a scrub under
your... Have a wash down the bits.
Exactly, And it puts you in a different mindset, I think it's important.
I'm a big believer of that, but weirdly, and I'm not sponsored by these people, but...
Here we go.
I've been looking for a new boxer short range that I like, and I've spent years, so many years looking... But like Molly's like, when I met, I pointed out there was holes in these boxer shorts. It's no lies in that. Like, she's literally like, the other day, she's like, mate, I mean, how long have I been going on about these? I was like, right, okay. And I went and bought some, and these boxer shorts are just perfect.
And, what are they?
They're called Beaufort and Blake, and they're not like skin tight. They're like old school boxer shorts, but they've got beautiful patterns. They're really well made. And they're like a high quality short. And since I got them the other day, that's all I'm wearing, Rich. That's all I'm wearing. And I feel like it's a suit because they're so well made. And I live in a flat and I have no shame because there must be about four floors opposite me.
You don't need to explain that, we know.
And that's it.
If you're unsure if Chris has shame, go back to previous drunk casts and fill your boots.
I put those on and I have a wash, shower, do all that stuff, make my bed because I think that's important, have breakfast and start my day in those boxer shorts. And they're so nice, I feel like that's like my suit going to work.
I wonder if that's how Molly envisioned it playing out. Would you please replace the boxer shorts that have got holes in? He's finally replaced them. He's stopped wearing all his other clothes now. Literally, I just can't win. He's not wearing anything else.
We spoke about this the other day, didn't we, Chris? We was talking about when he's like your boxer shorts. Like, when have they? What's the kind of threshold of when they've really perished? And it is that moment where in the hole. He's big enough that one of your bollocks goes through it.
Mate.
Same with socks.
Give them to your mum. She can use them as dusters.
If you've got to a point where one of your bollocks is hanging out of your underwear like Tom Cruise up a lift shaft, that's when he's got to go. That's when they got to go. But why is it that underwear, particularly boxer shorts, are really good at like becoming cleaning utensils? what is it about the worn fabric? Yeah, the integrity of the underpant that is no good to wear, but it brings your windows up lovely.
When we sort out this whole Black Lives Matter thing, mate, after that,
we'll get onto that next.
Finally, figure out.
Go on, Sue.
There was one thing that I never mentioned on the drunk cast, one of the first ever ones, if not the first one. About my holiday from hell, where I lost my suitcase. We lost our suitcase and all of that. One of the low points, I don't know why I never brought up on that podcast, was obviously the moment where I had one pair of pants because obviously our case didn't arrive. Now, a low point that nobody ever needs to experience is their father-in-law going, "Here you go, mate. You can borrow these if you want."
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
No.
Your nuts have rubbed on the same cloth.
It was a thong.
I've genuinely had to have a panicked conversation before because a partner has been around my house and looked in the bin and found an absolutely destroyed pair of pants and has been like, what the fuck happened here? What the fuck happened? But I, with pants and socks, if I'm taking them off at the time I'm taking them off to go to bed or to get changed or get a shower, if I see a hole, I'll rip them in two because then I have to get new ones.
Yeah, then I
don't, otherwise I'll never remember. I'll keep washing them and wearing them and they'll have holes. If I see a hole, bang, I'll rip them in two, put them in the bin, have to get new ones.
What's wrong with you, you fucking pervert? Why not just put them in the bin? Why
not? I'll take them out, mate. I'll take them out in an emergency. You know it. I live on my own, as if I do a wash unless it's really necessary.
Flick off a few baked beans.
Yeah, that's it. If I'm like, oh, they've got some life in them.
Is that ice cream or semen? I don't know what it is.
Tastes like semen.
Weirdly, guys, I'm not normally taking my pants off in the kitchen. It's normally in my bedroom bin or my kitchen or my bathroom bin. So they're areas that don't have a load of. I don't get too busy. But yeah, I'll rip them in two. And having to explain that without seeming like, oh, again, as you can tell now, without seeming like an absolute psychopath is nigh on impossible.
Have you ever tried to put a sock on and your foot just rips through, rips most of the sock off and you're holding on to the end of it?
Yeah,
I've done that never a good look, times. And it? I'm like, I've definitely had these socks for too long.
You see, this is a big, again, Stu and Chris will know, but... Rich and Jade might not, and certainly a few of the listeners might not, but Stu and Chris will know, I have numbered socks, and they add up to the number 5. So I'll always be wearing either a 2 and a 3, or a 4 and a 1. And
people can do maths.
Yep.
Yeah, but why? What's all that? What's
or,
it thinking
about? Or a 5 and a blank, in case anyone's wondering.
In case Chris has overestimated
anyone.
I've known you a long while, Pip. You know, we'd known each other a long time when we was in Soho.
Oh, it's great.
To do the drunk cast.
Yeah.
Many years ago. And Chris brought up your socks. And I was like, what? And he went, yeah, he wears like 2 different socks.
Well, I said he used to wear.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they add up to 5. And I was like, fuck off.
But they've got numbers on them.
Yeah. It gets even weirder. Again, I'm not helping myself here. I've talked about me incredible Hulk in my pants on my own in my bathroom, and now. But so it started. 1 year, I just got some socks at Christmas that were numbered 1 to 7. So it's a pair for each day of the week. And my lucky number's 5. So I started wearing. I got rid of the 6 and the 7. Fuck those guys.
I'm in the bin.
No. I used them. But I didn't wear them. So I started doing that. But then, obviously, as Chris said, there's a point where you put your foot through your sock. So I thought I'll go and buy some more, and I couldn't find any. So now it's become a tradition that the thing my mum gets me for Christmas is she takes some blank black socks to a woman who does like embroidery, and she. It stitches numbers into these socks for me.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I know. Absolutely psychotic. But if she forgets 1 year that's her duty as a mum, like it's my main present. It's the main thing I'm after from every year. If she forgets 1 year, then my socks will have as many holes in as you can imagine because I can't just go out and buy a pair of socks. This needs a lot of work. I can't just go, I'll replace these. It's like, well, I'm all out. I'll go back into the reserves, but yeah.
You're saying this like this is so normal.
Like it's normal.
The best thing was, when we had this discussion, the last time I knew you had numbered socks, we must have been, say, 20s, which was weird anyway. For 15 years later, for it to come up in a newsagent in Soho, and then you went, still do it. It exploded in that newsagent.
I could not believe my eyes.
They were screaming and shouting. And the newsagent must be, what the fuck is going on here?
Oh, my God.
It's excellent. And do you know what, Pip? You're confident with it as well. And that's great.
I've stuck with it. I mean, I've got a weirder one. In fact, I might hold off on that until
I'll wait
until Chris gets back because he'll really enjoy it. Because this one, I've got no valid explanation or like it's really. I probably need some help, but I want to give an I want to give an update to Stu and any listeners. So basically, on the first of these isolation drunk casts, I told Brett and Ramesh about the fact I had a mouse in my house and he'd been eating my protein powder. So I had this big muscly mouse that I was going to have to try to get rid of. On the last drunk cast, I updated people. I caught it. I had these humane mouse traps. Caught it. I went and released it. But it came to mind because of Chris jumping up with his bad back and screaming at his missus, scaring the life out of her when they're asleep. But I've left a couple of these humane mouse traps out because my house is over 100 years old. There's going to be some little nooks and crannies. It's got wood floors, so on and so forth. So me and my partner were in bed a week ago. So this is after we've got rid of Protein Mouse, as he was dubbed. he's a hero on social media. I'd got rid of him, and I'd taken him a little way away as well because I didn't want him to come back. Because I knew he could get over fences and all sorts. He's fucking
You have to take him a mile and a half away from your
house. What I did was I walked. It might have been a mile. I gave a fair old walk, but I went across a manorway.
I thought you were going to say I gave a fair old throw.
No, because I thought he's not going to cross the manorway. But so me and my partner in bed the other night, and like a psychopath, I'm laying there and we're about to fall asleep, and I think I can hear. I think I can hear a mouse in the trap. And again, that seems absolutely psychotic because how would I have picked up? It's in the kitchen. I'm upstairs. But I think I'm going to go and have a look and see if there's another mouse. So I go downstairs and there is. It's a different mouse. It's a bigger mouse.
Are you fucking...
So obviously the one that trained him. And then... but then I go back upstairs and not thinking, again, Chris, you left the room for a second there, but it came to mind because of you... clearly scaring Molly as you jumped up and screamed with your bad back. But I go back upstairs and I go to my partner, do you want to go for a walk? And she thought someone had died. She thought something horrific had happened because I'd randomly gone downstairs. But obviously I wanted to go and release the mouse. And then I revealed it and we went again for a walk. I went to the same place I released a protein mouse and we went to release it. Glanced up, and there's just a fox sat there looking at us. So we went across the road because we can't just.
Of life.
We can't just be a Deliveroo for this fox.
I was going to say,
did you order a mouse? It's a big one.
I remember years ago, I had the same thing. So I got in from a gig. It was about 4 a.m., and I went, oh, I better check all the. We lived in this wooden house in the woods. So, and we had all these little mice running around. And I checked the traps before I went to bed and I found one in the trap. And I went, right, I'm not going to leave it. So I went in the car and I remember they said, you've got to take it a mile and a half away from your house. Otherwise they can find their way back. So I drove off into the night and I end up at this park and I've got the mouse in its trap on the passenger seat of the car. And I get to the park and I'm like, right. And I'm chatting away to it, go, right, little man, we're at the park. So I let you go in, right? And I opened the door of the car and I picked up the trap, but I opened the door of the trap too early, and the mouse jumped out, but then jumped in the car, and it's 4 a.m. It's dark, and I had to sit and wait. I'm like, is it gone? Or is it in the car? I'm stood there. It's 4 a.m. I'm a bloke in the park at 4 a.m.
Get a knock on the window.
I love the idea. I love the idea that you get out to go and look and he drives off. He did get back in and you don't know how to. You've got a mile and a half away. You can't find your way back.
That's it taking ages.
You're not a mouse. Protein mouse would have had your motor in no time.
Oh man! But this is what happens when you give a shit. You end up in these situations where,
mate, it's mad. I talked about it on this other one. I had to go to four different places and then order from Amazon and wait a week because nowhere had humane mouse traps.
Really?
Everywhere, even the pet shops, all had ones that will kill it. And I was like, I don't want to kill it. It's fucking.
Nah.
There's some building work going on in some fields. Some flats are being put up in some fields behind mine. So I'm like, well, that's probably what's happening. There's a load of animals.
It can put a deposit on down there.
Yeah, exactly. I'll be his reference. I'll be his guarantor.
Yeah, he's a good tenant, I can vouch for
him. No, he's a mate. The dedication he puts into his workouts and his diet, I couldn't not vouch for him.
He looks after himself, takes care of his environment.
Pays his taxes.
He's a good lad. He's a good lad. You go to the pub with him, he's fucking great. We had a wander up the Manor Road the other day. He's a blinder.
You've been listening to Scroobius Pip's Distraction Pieces.
Whoa. Let's pause it there. I think you've had enough for episode two. I think we're going to end on another cliffhanger and have you gagging to hear an update on Protein Mouse and maybe other members of Protein Mouse's gym. But for that, you're going to have to tune in for episode three, aren't you? Yes, episode three is wonderful. It gets emotional. It gets beautiful. It's wonderful. So, yeah, that'll be out in a bit. And I'll see you then. Ta-ta.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.